The question today is, what obligation does the parents have to the children? We've looked at the three areas, or looked at one area where we said that the parents are responsible for their, first of all, for the development physically, mentally, and spiritually of their children. We'll not recap that anymore. But also, they're responsible for the direction of their children. The child needs to be aimed at the right target in life. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. It means to touch the palate of that child. And by the way, this is part number three and this particular question. But you need to touch the palate of the child so that when he's old, he'll like it all the days of his life. And in other words, you aim them at the right target you want them to go and keep it up. Now, they may wobble on the axle, as the expression is, but the Bible says they will never depart, even while they're growing old, is what it's up. Somebody said, I raised him up right, but he'll come back. Don't count on it. It's not what the Scripture said. The verse said, even while they're growing old, he will not depart. But the problem is, who of us as parents have fulfilled this verse? Well, I see we need to say, Lord, help us today. I'll say, help me today. So we're obligated in directions. Now, in those directions we send our aim our children at, as far as the target is concerned, there ought to be some definite restrictions. There ought to be some off limits. In other words, in the garden, Adam had a tree that he could not eat of. The Bible said, tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that, for the day you do, you'll die. Somebody said, was the fruit poison? I don't know what it was. It was just that God said, don't eat of that tree. Some things a child ought to know is a no-no. In other words, we need to. In other words, a lot of people say, and psychology says, philosophy, whatever, they say, don't tell a child no. He's liable. That's the reason he'll kill his parents. Some child who wound up, growed up, and killed their parents, they told them no sometime. Well, that's not right. There needs to be some definite restrictions, and it's got to start at a very, very, very early age. There needs to be definite requirements. In other words, there needs to be things that a child knows he has to do. In other words, you say, but we've got rules and regulations, and that's legalism. No, it's not legalism. That's just rules and regulations. In other words, you say, but preacher, you hothousing your children if you do that. That's exactly right. I'm guilty, and I won't. You need to be guilty, because if you don't, they'll bring sorrow to you in the days to come. They need to be hothouse. The best tomatoes are grown. They first of all planted the seed in the hothouse somewhere, raised the plants, and when they're toughened up enough, they're able to set them out in the weather. When the weather gets slack, they can handle it, and therefore then there's where the tomatoes come from. You go out in February and plant a seed in the ground, and I guarantee you there'll not be any tomatoes grown on those plants, because they'll die. The frost will kill them. The freeze will kill them. And so, therefore, they're not ready. You need to hothouse your children and aim them at the direction they ought to go, and on target, in other words, and give them a definite requirement in their life, definite restrictions, and there needs to be definite responsibility. I've never seen as many today, and most young people grow up today without any responsibility. I've never heard so many to say they don't want to carry out the garbage, to think about it. And then they wonder why when they marry, that the marriage don't last. No wonder it don't last. They've both been spoiled. They've had a silver spoon in their mouth. Their parents done everything for them. They wasn't trained with responsibility. And mamas and daddies, we failed. It's our fault that they're in that situation. You see, I'm the fruit of my daddy's and mother's training. You realize that? My children are the fruit of me and my wife's training. And I'll have to say mostly her. And your children will be the fruit of your training. And in other words, and I have them many times, you'll look and say, oh me, when you look at them. And that's true. I know we need to pray for our children. I pray for my grand boys. I pray for them and grand girls as well. But I pray especially for them that's older, pray that they'll have a work ethic. They'll have responsibility. They'll grow up with it. We'll train them in that. We'll train them in character and spirituality. Boy, they need that, and we need to do that. So we have a responsibility for direction. And if we aim them in the wrong direction, the hope is very slim of ever getting back to that target. For instance, you aim an arrow at the target, and it even sometimes you miss the target. But if you're close, that's better than being off in left field or right field. But if you aim your children to the wrong target totally and it's off in left field, I'll tell you the only thing that will ever move an arrow back on target is the wind. And the wind is the Holy Ghost of God. And I'll tell you, well, he can blow a target from 90 degrees left, 90 degrees right, 180 degrees opposite direction. If he so chooses, he can do that just like a tornado can blow the arrow on target, even if it's gone off direction. So the Holy Ghost of God can do that, and that's what we need. We need those miracles in our life because we've all failed in Deuteronomy 22:6. But we said in the Word that we're responsible, parents' obligation to their children. We're responsible for their direction. We're responsible for their development. And we're responsible for their discipline. Now, the Bible said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 4, he says this after he tells the children's responsibility to obey their parents and honor their parents. He said in verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That means up and train them up in the way they should go. And it's talking about discipline and training there in that sense. And it needs to be done. So we're responsible. We're obligated to discipline our children. Now, we're a generation that really needs help in the area of disciplining children. We've listened too much to the Dr. Spocks of yesterday, the Dear Abbeys and Ann Landers of yesterday, if you please, and even today. And we're in a mess today across this country because things are taking away discipline. Now, discipline, if you realize something, it's not altogether just whipping. It's instruction and training as well. It's not a question of whether to discipline or not to discipline, but how and when to discipline we need to know. Now, the Scripture's plain about discipline. I know that training's involved in that word. And that's what we've already talked about, in a sense, in direction. There's also instruction given, and we know that's the way it is. But also, the book of Proverbs is good for disciplining children. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, and you go back and study David's life, his dad. David failed with his first children. He raised up a family that didn't do right. Amnon raped his half-sister, and Absalom killed Amnon for raping his sister. And then Adonijah, he never corrected him, the Bible said. And he tried to overthrow the throne. Absalom tried to overthrow the throne, did wrong, and all those things. And he made mistakes with his children. But Solomon came along when he was about 54 years old, and he began to train his child. The Bible says that Solomon said, "He taught me some things." And so, therefore, we need to discipline our children. But the first thing of that discipline is training, it's instruction, if you please. And then there also is the actual discipline that needs to come as far as nurture. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition. Admonition is the training. Nurture is the discipline part as far as physical discipline is concerned. And that's it's there. So Proverbs is good. Proverbs 13:24, he said this, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." In other words, that word betimes means many times and oftentimes. And it means early, promptly, quickly. It means don't let them get by with some things. Now, I've heard the expression, "I've loved my children too much to discipline or to whip them." No, you love yourself too much to whip them. You don't want to have to suffer the pain. You've heard the expression, "It hurts me more than it does you." I didn't understand that when I was a child, but I understand that now. And so from this verse, Proverbs 13:24, there comes the principle many quote as Bible, and it's a Bible principle, it's not Bible, where he says, "Spare the rod and spoil the child." And that's exactly what happens. So therefore, Proverbs is a good thing. In other words, you're doing your child an injustice if you don't discipline. What did he say? "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Proverbs 19:18 is another verse in Proverbs that tells us something here. He said, "Chasten thy son while there's hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying." So there's two great statements in this verse. First of all, chasten thy son while there's hope. That says there's a time it'll be too late to decide to discipline. Now, many let their children act like brats and laugh at them, but when they get about 12 years old, they say, "It's about time to start training them." I want to tell you, it's too late to start. Let me say, if you didn't set your heart to start to seek God until your children were 10 years old or older, you don't expect them to change overnight. In other words, you've sowed too many years in their lives, and you're going to do some reaping. You can't cram your chains down their throat. Start from the cradle and train them while there's hope. Now, there's a second phrase in that verse. He said, "Let not thy soul spare for his crying." In other words, that ought to be understandable. In other words, you ought to understand it. Now, how old was you when you learned to start crying before mama started whipping? And I cried myself out of a lot of whippings, if you please, or at least shortened them. with mama, and not so much with daddy, but with mama. Now, this generation is like my generation. They learned to cry themselves out of a lot of whippings. Let not thy soul spare for his crying. Don't let a child cry themselves out of discipline. It's not right to do it. Now, I know the world's trying to tell you don't discipline, but that's not what God said in his word. This is God's book. And I'll tell you, we better stick with what God said about this. You're responsible. You're obligated in the area of disciplining your children. Proverbs full of good verses. Another verse, Proverbs chapter 22, verse number 15, when he says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it from him. Now, there's two things in this verse. He said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Well, you got to ever have a newborn come in the house and somebody says, well, he's a little angel. Well, so if that's the case, he's a fallen angel. Why? The Bible said he come forth from his mother's womb speaking lies. Said he was conceived in sin. Well, you say, but now that's not so. Well, it's not the act of conception if it's in the holy bonds of matrimony, but it means he has Adam's nature. He's a chip off the old block, and he comes forth from his mother's womb speaking lies. You see? Why? Because down inside, foolishness is there. And he'll lie to you. Have you ever heard a little baby? Have it maybe in the bassinet in the other room, and you think it's a dying, and it sounds like it's a dying, it's crying, and you go in there and look over, and you just to check on it, and about the time you look over, it got your attention, it looks up, and it smiles and says, I goo, quits crying instantly, it's lying to you. Well, nothing wrong with it. It's just training you to come running every time he cries wolf, in a sense. And so you've got to learn to not spare for their crying, and that foolishness is bound in the heart of every child. Now, the second part of Proverbs 22:15 is that said, but the rod of correction driveth it far from him. You see, when I got old enough, Dad never had to whip me twice for the same thing the same day. Or at least I don't think he did. When I got old enough, he didn't. But we ought to wise up. Now, there's something bad wrong with our discipline when we administer discipline and the child keeps on doing what we discipline them for. You see, something's wrong. If we have to whip a child five times the same day for the same thing. You see, they're old. When they get old enough, I'm talking about, to understand. Now, you notice it said, it spoke of the rod here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction will drive it far from him. In other words, he said that hand is a hand of love. You ought not to smack your children or slap your children. You ought to take something in your hand, some kind of a switch or something, some kind of a rod, some kind of a paddle or something to discipline your children. And after you discipline, you need to love, lay aside the rod and love them back into fellowship with you, because God said we're responsible to discipline our children. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.